How do I do this? Do I just have a big meeting and go, you're all fired? Or do I have them one by one come in and go, but when you go out, don't cry because I haven't told the other people yet? Like, how exactly do you do this in a humane, respectful way?
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right, guys, this is Heaton Shaw and Steli Efti for another Startup Chat podcast, aka the world's best business podcast. Heaton, how's it going, my man?
It's actually the world's greatest business project.
Oh shit! Yeah, you know,
it's first, not even that.
So I can't say what the name of the podcast is, right? So branding wise, I'm really failing. And then also, you guys need to know that as I'm tweeting things here and there, Heaton is DMing me on Twitter, telling me what I'm doing wrong on Twitter. He's like, dude, you don't even know how to tweet. Like, I have to teach you this, the basic skill set of tweeting. You're doing it all wrong. So I'm learning a shit ton just doing this podcast with you, Heaton.
I'm actually going to tweet with you, or we're going to do a whole episode about Twitter or something. So I think it's going to be great. All right.
Let's bring up what we want to talk about today. So I'm right now in Berlin. I was just giving a talk yesterday at a big conference here called Heureka, kind of a startup entrepreneurship conference. And my whole talk was basically talking about the worst and hardest things I've ever had to do in my entrepreneurial life, right? Just the really fucking hard, lonely moments that challenged me to no extent that were really painful to go through. And I thought it would be awesome to talk about this with you. And I'm actually curious to hear some of these stories from you. What were some of the hardest stories and hardest moments that you had to go through, and how did you get through them?
Awesome. Yeah, I think this is a really important topic. I don't hear a lot of people talking about how they felt in the moments when things were hard or the hardest. You hear a lot of times, you know, sometimes people talk about, oh, I couldn't make payroll and I had to do this, that, and the other. And then somebody came and saved my ass. They wrote me a check or whatever. So I think there's been a lot of these instances in people's lives. That specific one I haven't had. I'll just start and we can maybe just go back and forth. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Okay, great. Awesome. So I'm going to start with the one that it made me cry. So and then my dad said, you shouldn't be crying. I remember this very clearly. I was my co-founder, Neil, and I had I was living at home with my father. I was married and we were both my wife and I were living at home. And my co-founder was living, you know, about 5 or 10 miles away from me. We had realized that we had spent $1 million of our own money and lost it all completely. And we had spent that $1 million over the course of probably 2 years, maybe a little bit more. And it was on building a sort of web hosting company that never launched. And it was very early, probably 2004, 2005. We had just started our first business in 2003. And we had the money. So it wasn't like, you know, we were out on the street or anything. And also I was living at home. He was living at home. So that actually allowed us to invest in ourselves in a way that we wouldn't have been able to if we had even more overhead. I didn't have any kids at the time or anything. And my dad comes home and I walk downstairs and I literally see him, you know, knowing I lost the money, feeling like he'd be disappointed in me. And I just start, it wasn't like full on crying, but I was just crying because like, I don't want to disappoint my father. It's not something that, you know, I enjoy and I rarely do it, hopefully. And he looked at me, he's like, worst things have happened in our lives and you're crying about this? Is basically what his statement was.
Wow.
And he's right. Worst things that happened and I'm crying about money.
Yeah.
He's like, what, you want more money? You know, like, I have money. You want money? You want to go try something else? I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. So I will never cry about a loss of money, no matter how much it is. Because I think that day he just snapped me out of it. And he's like, yeah, you're crying over money. That's just bullshit. You made a mistake, right? You made a mistake for a very long time. You wasted money, but you tried. And I was like, yeah, all right. Well, we tried the wrong way. And then I went through all the, oh, we wasted money on this and that, and we shouldn't have done this and that and all that. But like at the end of the day, we screwed up, you know, and there's a lot of lessons there in like, you know, how to do a startup and all that. But like at the end of the day, you know, at that moment, he snapped me out of it. And all of a sudden I was fine. And I was ready to go. I was ready to move on. And, you know, rarely do I have moments like that where someone snaps me out of it. He's probably one of the few people that knows how to do that. But like, it was just a realization that the money wasn't the problem. I was actually much more upset about failing and not then about losing the money.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. That's an amazing story. So, all right, let me share the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I'm not even sure if it was the hardest moment. It's so hard. The many, many ups and many, many downs in my entrepreneurial journey. But the hardest thing I've ever had to do was let go of half of my team in one day. And I had to fire people before that. And usually it was a long process and it was, you know, at a point where it made the most sense for them to go somewhere else. And I felt fine. It always sucks to let somebody go is the worst thing that I ever had to do as an entrepreneur. But that day I had to let go of multiple people at once. And I know, and I didn't want to let go of any of those people. It was just a big transition we made in the business. We didn't need all these people anymore with this new direction. And although they were all awesome individuals, it just made no sense to keep holding on to them. So at some point I had to make that hard cut and just downsize the team pretty dramatically. My first son was just a few months old. I wasn't sleeping. I was really stressed at home anyways. And then just carrying that burden of having to let go all these people, not knowing how to do it practically. Like, how do I do this? Do I just have a big meeting and go, you're all fired? Or do I have them one by one come in and go, but when you go out, don't cry because I haven't told the other people yet? Like, how exactly do you do this in a humane, respectful way and treating people really well in the process? And I knew that it would not be a massive surprise for people because we were really transparent about everything, the company, financials, struggles, the thoughts that we had on like changing the direction of the business. So it was not that anybody was completely surprised because we had a certain level of transparency. But anyways, still, people didn't know if they, you know, what their future was, and they probably didn't want to be not be part of our future. So I struggled with this a lot. I remember in the morning, you know, driving to work, being really nervous. I set meetings with all of them one-on-one. I didn't tell anyone prior who would stay on the team or not. And on the way there, I remembered that one of the employees, when I hired her a year ago, she made me promise to her that if I ever let her go, I would have to give her a cake and play Bye 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 from NSYNC, right? So I was like, holy shit. You know, I'm at the parking lot of the office. I turn around. I go to Savory to buy some cake because I'm like, if she wants it, I need to keep my word. And I'm downloading fucking NSYNC on the way back to the office like an idiot. And I'm like, all right, I want to be prepared. If she really wants these things, then I want to be able to keep my word. And I had one-on-one meetings with everybody in the company, telling them kind of the context of what's going on. And the ones that would not stay with the company, we made two significant things. One was I set an appointment with every single one for the next week that was kind of a two-hour block time with me and them. And I told them, listen, you know, I want to help you with whatever you want to do next. I want you to take some days off and think about what do you want? Do you want a job? Do you want to start a business? Whatever it is, I want to give you 2 hours of my time to help you in any possible way to accomplish whatever your next goal is. And because I know that if you leave this office, although we are friends and you're saying you want to stay in touch, you're probably not going to want to see me again. We have to put this in the calendar right now. Right. So everyone made an appointment with me for 2 hours the next week for me just to be available and help them in any way I can. The second thing we did is we set an appointment for the entire team, the people that stayed on with the company and the people that we had to let go 3 months from that day to all go for dinner and kind of catch up with each other and see what happened with everybody. Right. And the funny thing is the woman that had me promise her the cake and NSYNC was the last one I was talking to. And then at the end, she looks at me and I go, do you want, like, remember I promised you this cake thing and I have a cake in the fridge just in case if you don't feel like it. And she's like, you bought fucking cake? That's awesome. Right. And I'm like, yeah, of course I promised it to you. And she's like, well, and she's like, what about NSYNC? And I'm like, I got you. I downloaded it. I'm going to play it. If you want to hear Bye 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 from NSYNC, more power to you. I'll play it. She's like, no, 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 no. I didn't say play it. I said, you have to dance for me to Bye 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 from NSYNC. And I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm going to dance Bye 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 to NSYNC right now. This is the worst day of my life. I don't want to dance. She's like, no, you promised it. She went back and forth. To make a long story short, at the end of the day, there's a huge group of people. Everybody that I had to let go, they're all eating cake. There's NSYNC Bye 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 playing in the background. And I'm dancing like a fucking idiot in front of everyone. And everybody promised there's no videos, but there's like 4 different videos of this. And literally everybody pulled out their phones and wanted to record that. And finally, after now a long enough period of time where I can just look at that day and I know all the good things that came out of it, we published it. So it's even live. There's a video of me dancing like an idiot to that. And that was such a crazy day. And the funny thing is, like, in hindsight, it was everything worked out. All these people got amazing jobs. All of them are really great friends of mine. All of them are customers of Close.io. We have a really great relationship when it was a good day in hindsight. But that day, man, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I never suffered more. Like weeks and weeks before that, I was just suffering and conflicted and just disappointed about myself and not knowing how to do this and how to get through this day. And it was definitely the single hardest thing I had ever to do in business life. It was the hardest day I've ever had to go through. Although now I can laugh at it.
Yeah, that's pretty hard. It's hard to lay off people.
It sucks. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably one of the most inhuman things about running a company.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any energy for more? This is heavy stuff. I don't know how many hard stories we can do. Jesus.
Well, I'll let you calm down with another one of mine.
All right.
So this one was pretty heavy for me too. I think it was just as bad as that one. It was 2011 and it was my 30th birthday, probably the 30th birthday weekend. So I was turning 30 and we found out at Kissmetrics that we were being sued. And it was a class action lawsuit with us and about 25 of our customers. And from then till probably another at least 3 months, it was just hell. Like I had to talk to these customers. We had to go hire lawyers, go figure out what's going on, figure out, you know, whether we can keep the company alive or not, whether we can beat it, fight it, settle it, what the plan is. And it was all over something that we had built into our technology that we had forgotten about that wasn't even important to serving our customers. And somebody figured out that that was in the wild and it was running on our customers' sites and we had powered it and they decided to sue us. It was a very intense period. And then I still hold a grudge about my birthday. So I'll probably never celebrate a birthday again, or that's what I like to say, because I didn't get to celebrate my 30th for sure. And it was hard. We got through it. The company's still around, not working there anymore, but it's around. It took 2 years and then we settled it. But the emotions that you go through, like when literally your business is attacked and it might not exist tomorrow, is intense. You know, you're just trying to figure out what to do. And I rarely get rattled and like just don't know what to do. And I definitely got rattled and didn't know what to do and had a horrible weekend. Just had to go figure it all out. Like had to go figure out what was really going on, called as many people as I could to ask for help around the lawyers. Cause basically when you get sued, you get a lawyer and you get the best lawyer you can possibly find and you find a way to pay him. That's the only move you can do at that point. And so we were just hunting that down. At the same time, I was dreading having to do these phone calls with these companies that trusted us and, you know, that were using our technology and now we're being sued because of us. So that was an ordeal. It took 2 years for it to finish, but it was the first, literally it took 3 months to like get out of the state of being in shock in that case.
That's insane. And I want to say and step back to all the people that are listening. Just Heaton and I are really happy people. We're fine. So we made it through just as a quick refresher. These stories are intense and the emotions you go through in these situations are really intense. And today when I talk to people, I tell them, you know, you're going to go through really horrible shit. And with hindsight, it's all part of the bigger scheme. And you might see that it was an important step in your journey, but it still is going to feel like shit in the moment. It doesn't help. Right. To know that you'll still have to go through really hard times. All right. I'll share one that I haven't shared yet with anyone. One really hard moment was just the first or second week when I arrived in San Francisco. So I bought a one-way ticket to San Francisco, was living in Europe, and I wanted to come to Silicon Valley to be an entrepreneur. And I knew nobody and nothing about the Valley. And I was so clueless. So after the first 2 weeks of me just going to all meetups and events and trying to meet people, I eventually realized I'm going to run out of money, so I had to switch from the hotel I was staying to a hostel, and I had to find a place to live, right? So I was at this hostel just all day long sending cold emails to VCs, which was a really bad idea, really bad emails to VCs that they were not responding to, breaking my heart in the process, and trying to find an apartment, a place to live. And I remember getting a phone call at a really unusual hour. I knew it was really late in Europe. And getting a phone call from my brother telling me that my grandfather had just died. So in Greece, it's kind of custom to take the first name of the grandparents. So I had a very close relationship with my grandfather. A lot of people say that I have a lot of my personality trademarks were his. And it broke my heart to hear that my grandfather had died. It was a really kind of dark moment. But what made it even worse was kind of returning into the room, my kind of room in that hostel. It was like where there were like 30 people and they were all having a big party. They were all drunk kids in the hostel having a huge party. And I remember sitting down, just having heard that my grandfather had died, and looking at my screen and thinking, A, I can't be there for my family. I can't be there for my mother. I can't be there. I can't support anyone. Also, I'm completely alone here. And it doesn't matter how fucking alone I am and how hurt and sad, I need to keep writing these emails and emailing these investors and try to find a place and make it work here, right? And that moment just felt so fucking horrible. And I had this realization. I was thinking, no, at some point in my life, if I ever write a autobiography, this is going to make one of these like emotionally important, really small moments. Or this will make a good story, but it just feels so fucking horrible right now. It just feels so shit to want to just not do anything for the next few months, right, or weeks, and just mourn. And I don't have a place to stay. I don't have a house. I don't have friends. I don't have my family here. And I'm trying to start this business. So I can't just like for a few weeks not do anything and not be productive. I have to push forward. It was just a really hard moment. It was surreal because I had all these kids partying around me, right? And being totally drunk and bumping into me and all that and wanting me to get drunk. And it's just super surreal moment that was just really hard to kind of deal with.
Yeah, man, that's a lot of shit all at once.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like because both of us are pretty honest and try to be very open with kind of the good and the bad, but also because we've been entrepreneurs for a while and have done multiple businesses, both you and I, we could go home for a really long time, but I think that this is probably as much as one podcast episode can contain in terms of the density of really hard entrepreneurial moments. But I think it's important. And I see a little trend, and I want to be part of that trend and push this forward. I think it's important for entrepreneurs to share more of these stories and be more honest and be more real. And don't pretend that we're all so strong and only successful and nothing ever phases us. And we challenges are always just there to rise to the occasion. We never feel down or in doubt or fearful. I think all that's bullshit. So I think the more people share these moments, are honest about their highs and their lows, the better for all of us and the better for kind of all entrepreneurs and all businesses and all startups. So I hope that more and more people will share it. And hopefully you guys, as you're listening, if you have a really hard story, just share it on Twitter, just ping me or Heaton or email us and share kind of your struggle and your hard stories. And let's help each other out by just being honest and turning this into a real community versus a fake community where only the good stories are shared and none of the hard moments.
So I think that's your tip.
Yes.
That's it. Share the hard moments so that we can all learn from each other. But more importantly, I think I'm going to dovetail that into my tip, which is if you are in the middle of one of those situations, even if we don't know you, come find us.
Yeah.
Email us, tweet at us. We would love to hear about it, even though it's bad, and we would love to help. Just remember that. If any of you, anybody that's listening, is ever in one of those situations, just contact Steli or I or both of us, and we'll be there to listen to you, help you think about it. Because oftentimes when these things happen, you feel like you have nobody you can talk to. You feel like nobody will understand. You feel like you just need to figure it out yourself, and that none of that is true. We're all here to help. And I think the biggest tip I can say is if you're in that situation, a situation that's just that bad, that you feel like you don't know what to do, there's always someone that can help you. And just reach out to someone, even if it's not us. And so the biggest tip is get help.
Absolutely. I love that. Please follow that advice. I'm not sure if I was wise enough, 8 years ago to follow it, but I hope that you guys are. And please get in touch.
But did anyone tell you that?
I-